Bible song. I want you to
Love Talk Radio.
I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of His goodness and His kindness and His mercy. I will sing.
It's a simple song.
God bless you guys for joining here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. This is our Tuesday night testimony on tonight. We're dealing with some of the testimonies that happens in the lives of God's people, events, circumstances, situations. But altogether, God always delivers His people from whatever it may be that's alienating them, causing them to fall short. We declare it according to the Word of God. I want to make a few announcements before we get started about some of the things we got coming up here. We're going to be out there with Bishop Brooks' place here. Here soon at the Pastor's Roundtable, something I love to attend every year. I love my good friend, Pastor Ron Shaw, out there at Light Church, out there in the city of Mesquite, Texas. And also, I'm going to make my way down there to Louisiana here this coming Easter. It's kind of far-fetched, but we believe in declaring the agreement that God's going to make things happen. And we see the reestablishment and kind of the re-breaking of Bishop Raymond Johnson's ministry, as it always has been established and always moving forward. And we know this word is going to be actually powerful that night, because we know after the flood and some of the things that took place in the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, kind of devastated a lot of the churches down there. And I'm going to make my way down to make sure I'm being supportive of the thing that God is doing, a new thing He's doing in the house of these men of God, as He continues to bring them back to where he wants them to be, as well as my good friend, Pastor Pearson, getting ready for some new innovation out there in his ministry. As God continues to do the powerful miracle work out there at Pastor Pearson's place out there in the city of Terrell, Texas, which is Mount Olive Church, and we call it the Mount. That's Mount Olive Church of Terrell, Texas. We do have Mount Olive Church of Plano out there, Pastor Sam Finch-Roy. Got some things I know that's going to be coming up with him this year. But it's not a way we're consecrating ourselves on the work that we're doing here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios, and all the supporters who are supporting us and the work we've been doing here. We thank God for you staying with us and keeping us in your prayers through all of what we call the thick and thin. You know, sometimes things get thin and sometimes things get thick. But in the midst of all that is, God yet shows himself to be faithful in all the work he's caused us to do in the kingdom. You know, once we declare to come into the word of God. I want to thank God for my beautiful daughter. She's going to be graduating on this coming May out of University of Texas, Arlington. Such a beautiful, certified young woman of God. She's got a degree that's coming up, and also I'm going to be on hand to support her. And also the work that God is doing in her life is tremendous. And also my other beautiful young daughter, Marcella, which you guys see a lot on some of her little telecasts and radio shows, talking to some kids about how to be obedient to their parents and some of the roles she's going to be playing in her future here at Harvest New Light Church as God continues to develop her and bring her along, just as my mother also brought me along in the Word of God during the course of time when I was young. But we're not going to delay the time. We're going to actually move forward here. We're going to hear what the Word of God is going to speak. I'm going to let the music step back just a minute, and we're going to let it crank for a while. We're going to right back with you, and when we come back, we're going to be open up with prayer and hear just what the Word of God has to say.
Somebody say, I call you holy, your name is holy, holy you are, and the holy you be.
Come on, I want you to raise your voice up throughout this room. Let the world hear you, let the Lord church. I call you holy,
I call you holy. Your name is holy.
Who
am I? Who am I? Holy.
Yes,
I call you holy.
Your name is holy.
Your name is holy.
You are holy.
Holy.
And holy.
We're going to get ourselves moving here and get ready to open up a prayer and hear what the Word of God has to say that's coming through this. The mouth of this, please, if you give me the ability to speak, put the mouth of clay on tonight. As I continue to utter those things that God has given me to utter, as I begin to speak and declare a decree that He has given me in my heart to say to His parishioners, His people, His pastors, His teachers, whatever you may be in the body of Christ, and whatever name Christ has given you to represent Him as being on this earth, as being His worker and His servant. I want to say something in a minute here about my beautiful wife, co-pastor Patty Ellis, or Pastor Patty Ellis, who's my right hand in the ministry, always diligent, always supportive, always continuing to help me move forth in what God has called me to do. You know, you really got to kind of obey your wives and the things that we do, and we want to make sure we really cherish them in the season that we're in. But God really speaks revelation and information through them as well. As it's kind of like your partner, you know, she really is your sidekick. You know, when I say sidekick, like she's your confidant, she's a hero, she's your lover. And, you know, we really got to pay attention to what God is speaking to them in the season which we're in. Sometimes the enemy comes in and he tries to divert the plan of God. But, you know, as we hear all the time, the Word of God says no weapon formed, but also he speaks to the woman of God. That she may speak to the mouth of the prophet or the priest of the head of that particular vision to help them to move forward in the kingdom and what God has called them to be. And we've been speaking lowly about a lot about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Such a powerful time to really just rely on the power of the Spirit. But let's open up with prayer. Let's hear what the Word of God has to say on this word on tonight as we continue to just trust and believe and declare through Him everything and all things are possible. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you for this opportunity, Father God, to bring us before your throne once again. As the listeners continue to come in from our foreign countries and all those who are on the line, we thank you for being with us as we pray for you. And we ask you to put your loving arms around them, Lord, and touch them as they continue to go forth to whatever endeavor you have for them in their life, Father God. There are no obstacles, no orange cones, no ditches. Nothing will stop them from doing what you called them to do, and nothing will stop them from having the faith that you want to have them, that they continue to move forth. And I also want to just thank you, God, for the woman of God, my good friend, Annette Jackson, who lost her brother, Charles Jackson, here just yesterday. We ask you to put your loving arms around her and comfort her and the Jackson family, all those who have been close to us as men and women of God who grew up on the 22nd Street in Saginaw, Michigan. We running together with the young man for years. We knew them when we was like little adolescents, just being born in the first and second grade. We came in contact with each other. But Father God, we ask you to touch that family, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to hedge them with the protection of the wisdom and knowledge, and that you may touch them and show them, Father God, that you yet still in control. Touch the woman of God, Annette Jackson, Father God, as she continues to mourn of her brother, and touch the young man, Dennis, my good friend, as he continues to think about his brother as going on to be with the Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to comfort them, keep them. Help them, Father God, in this trial, Father God, because we all understand and realize what it is to lose a loved one, Father God. But when it touches our heart and our closest our home, Father God, we want to be there, especially to comfort them in this particular time that they're going through. So, Father God, we ask you to strengthen them and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be upon them, Father God, and even as we speak on tonight. Give us the words we need to speak that's coming from your Spirit, that we may realize and understand through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. I don't believe, Father God, you can fail in anything, Father God. And I'm asking, Father God, that we speak to every infirmity, every problem, every proclivity, Father God, that you move expeditiously in the midst of causing the word to implement in our lives, Father God. You said in your word, Father God, that you're God, that you shall not lie. You're not a son of any man, that you have to repent. The commandment has been given. You've been given a commandment to bless, and you said you can and will not reverse it. So, Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Even as we begin to open up this service, Father God, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit be there and all within. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord. Amen. It's amazing when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Just the power of the Holy Spirit. Not talking any kind of oratorical or profession or performance that comes from the mouth of any human being, but just the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who will lead you into all truth, and how men really realize and understand when they're led by the Spirit, that the power of God would direct them in every area of life. As I begin to read the scriptures and begin to come across some things that I was reading just on last night, as I was talking with my young daughter, the word of God put in my heart over there in the book of 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also died for sins once and for all, that just for unjust. Now, look at how he said that Christ died for sins once. He didn't go down but one time. He's not going down the second time. When he went down the first time, the Holy Spirit assured that when he conquers sin in this round, every demon and every devil is under subject of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then nothing in terms of weapons, creation, design, anything from the soothsayers can come against you. He declares a word so powerfully and magnificently. If you just look at the beauty of the scripture in 1 Peter 3:8, as he said this, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Notice what he's saying there. You got to get the clarification of how he says that third part of this, how he said he might bring us to God. When we're in the midst of our proclivities, we're in the midst of our sins, sometimes the enemy is all around us. He bombards us in every direction, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it be circumstances, whether it be situations. His job is to elude you away from what the power of the Holy Spirit is designed to do in your life. The word of God declares a creed in the book of Psalms 104:30, say, if you should send forth the Spirit, and that are created in you, renew the face of the ground. Now look how he says that. He said that you will be that you will send forth the Holy Spirit, that are created, and you renew the face of the ground. The word of God declares and decrees. When you think about the process or the concept of that particular scripture, it leads you into really when the Holy Spirit is designed to do a work in your life. The word of God says that angels, when you look at Luke chapter 1:35, he said that angels answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit, notice what he said, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And he says, for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called Son of God. When God put his son through the midst, that we all may have the right to the tree of life. Every sin that was ever thinking of a thought of, can be imaginable, God has already conquered it through his son. That when he said, when he go down this time, this one time, it ain't going to be no more sin for those who trust and believe on his son. For to know Christ is to know God. To know God is to know Christ. His son. Because if you know God, you got to know Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, you got to know God. God performs the word. That even when we take our Bibles and we take a sneak peek preview of what the power of the Spirit done through Jesus as he came down here on earth and to do the work of the one who sent him. It's amazing that when we think about the word of God over in the book of John, you know, it sounds a familiar scripture, but you got to get the increments of what Jesus is saying in the midst of those who are in his facility or in his vicinity or around him. And he says that in John chapter 10, it makes it, John 14 and chapter 10, he said, believe it thou not. Now, it's like he's sending a decision to you. That what are you, who are you going to believe in? Who are you going to trust in? Knowing that I am the one who sent that delivers you from every sin that's in your life. When you think about the promise of that particular scripture, and you look over in John 14, and you look at the 10th verse in the Amplified version, he said, do you not believe? Different from what the King James version says. It's like it's puzzling you. It's like it's asking you. If you believe in me, then you have no worries, because I'm the one who's called to do the work. I don't come to work for you. I come to do the work of the one who sent me. And the one who sent me will work on your behalf if you believe in the Son. The word of God declares decrees over here in the book of John 14 and 10. In this particular amplified version, he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority. Notice how he says that. In my of my own accordance, in other words. He said, not of my own authority, of my own accordance. But the Father who lives continuously in me does the work. And I'm going to pause that before I finish that out. The word of God makes the word, he said, greater than he that is in you than he that in the world. No demon, no devil. Not even a slew foot of a soothsayer. Every foul voice and every negative thought that ever tried to come to the mind of any individual to try to speak out against you. God said he'll clear the mouth of any demon. Man of God and women of God who claim and say they love the Lord, but yet they dehumanize, abuse, segregate, and separate you to try to make you feel other than what God declared you to be. My thing is, I always say, and I don't like to really make no bones about it, if you was weak on your way up, you're pretty much going to be weak on your way down, because manhood established in a young age. When you get to a middle of a thing, it's like a person who never rode a motorcycle, but then they want to try to ride one. Am I in there? If you hadn't gained the experience on behind how to ride one, and some of the things you need to look out for, just coming in the middle of this thing ain't going to really help you in any way, any shape, form, or fashion, because what's happening, you're not going to get all that you need to know from experience in riding. And I say the same way in the midst of dating. When you run across a date, God has brought a person in your life, or the devil can bring a person in your life. You got to look at all angles and all sides, other than just the lips and the hips and the breast. Am I in there anywhere? You might as well keep it 100, as they say, because I'm trying to get you to see something. Sometimes the things you look at with your eyes is really the thing that really diverts you from the plan of what God has in store for you. Sometimes we get attracted by the beauty of something rather than the spirit of something. Am I there? God knows what he's putting together. He knows he don't want you to have no gorilla, and he don't want her to have no gorilla either. God wants you to have somebody you can look at and somebody you can spend time with that you can be smiled upon rather than frown upon, because God knows what he's putting together. On earth, there's somebody for everybody, but everybody who's on earth always got the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit that guides them in whatever it is that's going on in life. The word of God decrees once again, you look at the Amplified version, we go back to the King James version. He said, believe it not. He said, do not believe, or do you believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority. The authority ain't in his hand. If Jesus could submit to his Father, who gave him the ability to carry the Holy Spirit and do the works of him that's in him, knowing that through his Father that everything and all things are possible, and then here you come along, Now, I ain't saying you're low life or low down, but you still got sin in you. You still working out some things. You still working out your soul and salvation. But now Christ has died, that even in the midst when you were doing wrong, as Ephesians said, when you was in your trespasses and sin, Christ was being set up, and then come with the testimony on a day like today with the word that we see in John 14 and 10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father? He's testifying to the fact that the power that his Father has given him, so should you have. And when you be receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, or when you receive the ingratiation of the power of the Holy Spirit, you will perform the miracles and signs of wonders just as he done. God required, declared you to be the same way that he called his Son to be. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority. It ain't even his mouth speaking. Jesus, I'm just like a conduit. Whatever my Father tells me to do, I do it with no hesitation. In my own recordings, but my Father who lives continuously, he continuously live on me. It's kind of like what the book of 1 John says. The book of Joshua says that you ought to, meditate on the Lord day and night, that you receive all the good commands and instructions and judgment that God has in store for you, that you may continue to do all that and wherein. Matter of fact, when you look at the book of John, he gives a very, Lord, in the name of Jesus, over in the book of Joshua, it gives a strong testimony, and the fact that when he spoke these words, he was really speaking to people who really want to have a mind to be able to study the word of Christ Jesus, to understand and know more about him in all areas of their life. The word of God says, when you turn your Bibles, you look over the book of Joshua. My wife is just an expert on the book of Joshua. I'm telling you, boy, she really puts me to shame on the history and all the things. She talk about the tribes and individuals and all the different plantations and the way the hills were made, the way the walls, the straw that was made. She's just all up in the inside of it. And I just really learned something from her. When we look at Joshua, we look at chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. It starts off in chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, after the death of Moses, my servant, the Lord passed. He said, the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, his master, or his mentor, saying that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Now, God sees the faith that he knows who to put the power in, just like God the Father knew who to put the power in. And he came and mesmerized Mary with a word about you are carrying the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph began to look upon her as if she wasn't capable of being his wife, and he was about to really put her away. But God sent forth an angel to certify the fact that what she's carrying is enough of pure power, and that pure power she's carrying is going to release that for the sins of all the world. Joshua begins to speak a powerful word as he goes on down here, and the word of God declares in Joshua 1 and 3, he said, every place of the soul. Now, this is God talking to Joshua after he commanded him that what he's about to do. This is all through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the commanding of the word of God. Just as Jesus began to speak the word over in John 14, believe it not that I'm in the Father in me. Well, God is speaking directly to Joshua in a testimony, telling Joshua what he's going to do for him. And that's what he does for Joshua. Joshua's going to come back in verse 2 and 3 and tell you what God declared him to do, and he's going to perform it, just as he did with the walls of Jericho. He knocked them down with a sure word that came from the kingdom. I'm talking about a testimony. That when God gives you establishment and God gives you rule, when God gives you reign, when he gives you authority, when he chooses you as being his main man and the work that he calls you to, don't worry, don't fret, because the enemy going to come. But I heard the word of God declaring in the spirit that no weapon can be formed against you, that every knee shall bow. Am I there? That every tongue shall confess. That not only he's Lord, but he's Lord over everything. I don't want to get to preaching here. I want to teach you. The word of God declares, according to the book of Joshua 1, we're talking about the testimony of the power of God's servants. He says over here in verse 3, every place where the soles of your feet should tread upon. You got to think about that. That when God said, according to Luke 10 and 19, that he had given you power, God gave you the ability to move with an apostolic anointing, the knowing, declaring, decree that whatever your foot tread, whatever you speak, according to Romans 4 and 17, whatever you declare up out of your mouth, is leaving you a testimony with somebody about the power of God and what he's done for them in life. Am I there? I know I'm there, but you ain't got to roll with it, but I know what I'm talking about, because God will give you a word in the midst of a prophet or a priest or bishop, whatever, speaking to you, and then that word will come to full fruition. It amazes me how the power of the Spirit gives direct contact and direct authority and direct preciseness about what he's able to do in your life. I believe the word of God declares, according to Psalm 46, that he said God's a refuge, and he's a very present help in a very present time of need. All we got to do is look through all out the Bible. We see the healing of the lepers. We see the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. We see the deliverance of the woman who was caught in the midst of adultery. Am I there with anybody? We see blind Bartimaeus and babies being delivered. We see Jairus' daughter being delivered. We see all the power of God moving, that even in his first miracle, when he turned the water to wine, God is a sure word that comes from the kingdom of God, and he will give you a testimony. When you look at the Bible, it's a testimony about what the power of God would do for you in your life if you just believe what the word of God said in Mark 9:23. If I can just believe that all things are possible. Let's move here in this particular scripture. And when we talk about how the word of God works really expeditiously, expandedly in the life of the very scriptures, he talks about a word over in the book of Acts chapter 4. And it's a sure word as the word begins to come forth through these very disciples as they begin to speak the word in the midst of these Sanhedrin, these Sadducees, these men, these captains of the temple. And the word of God declares according to the book of Acts 4. And he said, and they said, and they spoke unto the people. Now, we got to notice this one. We're talking about testimonies. When God do a powerful work, you can't have nothing but to have a testimony. And you who are all on the line know you got a testimony in your life. The devil done whooped you and knocked you down and gave you a black eye and everything else. But it was God who brought you back up, put ice on your sores, put band-aids on your wounds, told you, whispered in your ear that everything is going to be all right. But the word of God tells you about how the word of God performs a testimony in your life and my life, that he speaks it very clearly in the book of Acts chapter 4. He said he spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple of the Sadducees that came upon them. Now, these are devils that's coming up on God's people who's speaking the word. But the Bible said in the second verse of Acts chapter 4, he said, being grieved that they taught the people. Now, that's what we do. We teach the people the word of God, but there's always going to be the naysayers and the haters, that even we don't look like we're moving in terms of what we call the physical. People will look at you and they'll gather around you for what they see from a physical performance, but they don't know the Holy Spirit is designing you and orchestrating you and moving you in the very direction that God is calling you to move in. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, in the second verse, being grieved that they taught the people and they preached Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Come on, somebody. He said, and they laid hands upon them, and they laid hands upon them, and they put them in holding until the next day. For all, because of the evening tide, it says in the King James Version, the next day, for it was evening tide, and I mean they held them to the evening. But I want to focus on the first two verses before we move over to the fourth verse. I want to focus on this right. It really struck me. But it said they spoke unto the people. Just like me and you, we preach the word, the people. And they said, then the devils came, the priests, the captain of the temples, and the Sadducees, they came upon them. Now let's stay focused. We're talking about a testimony, how God, he takes you through the thick and thin to get a testimony out of you about what a power he can do when the enemy come upon you. The Bible says when they spoke the word, they said they was the very devils, the Sadducees, they was being grieved that they taught the word to the people about the power of God. And they preached through the Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead. Notice how it says. And the Bible says, and when they laid hands on them, they put them in holding until the next day. For it was evening tide. But hold on a second. The word had already went forth in the first verse. Because when you speak a word, it doesn't matter what the enemy may do to you. It falls on the ears of the individual that may believe. The word of God declares, according to Mark 9:23, that him that believeth, all things are possible. When we take the word of God, we go down into the fourth verse. The Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard. Am I there? See, faith coming by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. That even when they look at the word over in verse 1, it says that they put hands on them. But even they began to speak the word, and it already came out to give the people a testimony about the power of God. Their ears had already been itched with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said they begin to believe. They believe, but the Sadducees begin to be grieved about the power of the word that went forth, and they said they put hands on them. But see, doesn't matter if somebody put hands on you now, because you done preached the word that'll save somebody's life. Am I there? The Bible says when the enemy comes try to put his hands on you, and when they put their hands on you, if you speak the right word in the right season, God said they have heard the word. And in the midst of you preaching the right word in the right season, God will call the people to rise up and begin to speak that what God has put into their ears from the mouth of that priest and that prophet. And God will begin to show you favor in the name of Jesus. Am I there? The Bible declares the creed that when Paul and Silas was up in prison, they had been doing a great work and they began to put them in prison. But the power of the Holy Spirit began to send forth the angel and began to send an earthquake over there. And they began to shake the devil. It began to shake. Well, I'm going to say shake the devil. It began to shake the prison and it began to loose the very bars. But they laid there that even in the midst of they laying there, the very God that was him was about to kill himself. And they said, no, don't slice the throat, man of God. We yet still in here. Because it was known back in those old days when you were sentenced over a man of God or a prisoner in those days, if you got an escape, then the blood would be on your head, according to Ezekiel 33, but in the opposite way. Am I there? I'm trying to get you to see something. When you was appointed to take care of prisoner in those days, and that prisoner got away from you, it was going to be your head sitting in their head. But Paul and Silas prayed through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they gave a demonstration in the midst that even when the balls were beginning to be shaking them loose, the Bible said they began to pray as they prayed. The power of the God came in the midst of that prison and began to shake everything loose. It was not like God. The same thing we see in Acts chapter 4. The word of God declares that even in the midst of the man of God began to speak the word as a testimony unto the kingdom of God. They said they spoke the word, but then the people, the Pharisees, these Sadducees, these Sanhedrin, they was grieved by the power of God. And they put their hands on these men of God and they held them to evening time. But this is what I'm trying to get you to see, that even though the word was spoken and they put them in prison, they heard the word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God, and by the hearing of the word of God, if you do what God has called you to do, when you hear the word of God, you will receive the testimony of the power of the revelation and of the illumination of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that your Bible declares and decrees that even when they put them in prison, they yet heard the word. Am I there? Men in which, it said in the fourth verse, which men of them heard the word. Now look what it said, but they believe. Mark 9 and 23 right there. They heard the word, which they believed. That's a Mark 9 and 23. The Bible declares that the number of the people, the number of men, came to be about 5,000. There was many men around in that day. But the Bible declares the creed, they heard the word. They began to utter and mumble among each other about the power of God. Because no doubt in my mind, the Holy Ghost broke out among those men. And they seen the demonstrations of the speaking in tongues. And all those things that went on in those days. And the people that came, when you look at this, it's such an amazing story when you think about just the increments of what it's really speaking about. You as being a man and woman of God, when you speak the right thing in the right season, how God will cause things to just erupt around you. The Bible declares and decrees in the fifth verse, and it came to pass, that I'm going to say tomorrow, the rulers and the elders, now they finna get mesmerized. They finna get they don't, something wrong with them now. They trying to find out how did this man who was lame in his body get healed through just the hearing of the word. Those men who came together to be about 5,000 began to speak the power of God. And as they began to speak the power of God, I believe that man who was crippled and lame in his position was in the midst of them. And the Holy Spirit showed them very devils a demonstration about what the power of God can do when he heard the word. The Bible declares that even in the fifth verse, it came to pass that tomorrow the rulers and the elders of the scribes, Ananias the high priest, listen to this, Ananias the high priest, John, Alexander, many of the kindred. Ain't it somehow the devil bring all his people along to try to understand, to try to shut you down? But God will give them a performance of a miracle that even the Cephas, John, Alexander, and all his kindred, all his folk that was with him, even in the high priest gathered together in Jerusalem, they was mesmerized about what took place because the spoken word went forth over in there in chapter 4 and verse 2. Now let me show you something here. The Bible declares here in the seventh verse, and when they set them in the midst, they asked. See, the devil don't understand. See, when a God begin to do powerful things, he be behooved. Just like when it don't seem like things are moving for you, but all of a sudden your enemy will look down on you as if you ain't going to make it. You ain't doing nothing. So they whisper and they gossip among themselves about the negativity, about what's going on in your life, but they don't understand they're reaping coal over their own head. See, that's what happened to John, Alexander, and all these boys up in here. they begin to talk about these men of God, and they begin to lay hands on them over here when we look over in the third verse, and they begin to put them in prison, but not knowing that the Holy Spirit already moved, because the word of God declared and decreed that in the fourth verse, he said, about how many of them heard the word, and they begin to do a testimony, and I no doubt in my mind, they begin to speak in tongues, they begin to move, like in the book says over there in the book Acts chapter 2. When the Bible said, when the Holy Spirit came into men, it was all of one accord in the upper room. And they say the word of God said a signature of a sign came of a sound of the roaring of the Holy Spirit. And they say the man began to be caught up in cloven tongue. Am I there? In the name of Jesus. When God began to move in your life, you don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to perform in your life to show you that yet he's in control. Man ain't in control. God is always in control. What would he do to his son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit he left down here on earth that me and you all will have the right to in the midst of what we're going through things in our life. Am I there? You might not want to hear, but I'm trying to get you to see something. The word of God declares over in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to come back to Acts chapter 4. They say when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all of one accord. See, when you're moving in the power of God, testimonies come by miracles when you begin to pray all in one accord like the old saints did. They gathered together and held hands, and they began to pray fervently, and they began to cry out to God, tears and all the things. They began to fall down on their knees. Today, we're a little bit too proud for that. You still see it going on in some places. Those are places I like to be in. When men of God come together, women holding men hand, men holding women hand, with no kind of different thoughts in their mind about anything, but believing the power of God is about to do something in the midst of what they're praying. The word of God says in Acts chapter 2 that the Bible says the day of Pentecost had fully come. They said it was all on one accord because it was all in one place. And the Bible said now that establishment came, it was a sudden. He said suddenly there was a sound from heaven, not just from anywhere, but from heaven, of a rushing mighty wind. I ain't talking about it. It wasn't like no toy. It was something greater than the sound of a tornado, but it was so humble that when it heard spiritually, the Bible said that it came down in the sound from heaven with the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The Bible declares and decrees in the third verse, and it appeared unto them. Look, he shut their mouth up before he got the fire to come out of them. He clothed their tongues like as on the fire, and he set upon them, and it set upon each of them. And now when it set upon each of them, look what happened in the fourth verse, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Now, we see right here clearly that when your tongue being cloven, you can't talk them. You ain't nothing come out of your mouth to what the Holy Ghost gonna speak out of you. The Bible says, and their tongues begin to lock up, in other words. And the Bible said in the fourth verse, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in other tongues, as who the Spirit gave utterance, not what that stuff you hear today, that some that other kind of talk, other people just saying something. They said it was clothed and locked down until the Spirit entered into them, and then it spoke out of them. And the Bible declares, decrees all these great devoted men that was around them from the different areas of Pontus and Galileans and all these different Nepotropolis and Cyrenia, all of them heard and believed and didn't understand that these men, that we don't even know these men, they speaking in our language. That goes to show you how the Holy Spirit is just universal. How in the midst of it being universal, it doesn't matter what language you speak. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, whether you're African, whether you're Asia, whether you're Philippines, whether you're Russia, whether you're American, am I there? It doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit speaks all in one language. It identifies with the soul through the spirit of man. And we talk about how the soul, people say, oh, pray for my soul. Okay. Pray for your soul. I mean, that's fine. I know it unites with the power of the diversity between the flesh and the spirit. But we want to make sure that we get more of the Holy Spirit, that it'll guide us, as it says in the book of Galatians, into that truth, that we may have the very experience through the revelation and illumination that it had over here in the book of Acts chapter 2. The word of God declares and he speaks. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it goes back down here. We go back over to Acts chapter 4. We look over here in the sixth verse. It says, Ananias and the priest Cephas, all the boys came together. And it goes on to the seventh verse. And when they set them in the midst of them, And look what they ask. By what power? See, they don't even understand. By what power or by what name? Yeah, all right. Yeah, you want to know the name or what kind of power, you know? The name perceives the power. The Bible says if you believe first on him, Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead, that you might be saved. See, you got to first believe on Christ. And then once you believe on Christ, you got to know that you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You just can't say I'm saved and sanctified and not demonstrate the power of God walking in the physical. Let's move here. Where did God go? Let me take you somewhere here to the book of Acts. Let me show you something in the book of Acts, chapter 19. The Bible declares the creed over here in books, the book of Acts, chapter 19, that we go over there in verse 1. And say it came to pass of why Apollo was in Corinth. Now, Apollo was supposed to have been a great speaker, like, you know, some kind of, you know, poet speaker, great governor, whatever he might have been. But he ain't nothing on the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that who were you, Paul, and who was Apollo? That y'all gave him, y'all can't do nothing. But the Bible says he passed through, while Apollo was in Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, coming to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples. This is what really mesmerizes me about this particular scripture right there. They say when Paul came to this upper coast of Ephesus, he finding, look, certain disciples. Now when you say you're a disciple, you all be a man that's experienced the power and the revelation and illumination of the Holy Ghost. I got a book over here I read, and it's called the Disciple Making Pastors. It's one of the books I use because this is a disciple-making ministry. We're not concerned on gathering crowds, as most people do, or filling up bodies in bricks and mortar. Our job is to send people out into the world. And the Bible says that's where the mission field is. It's out there. It's not in the bricks. You get trained up in the bricks, but don't get it twisted. Your job is to go on and pass the word on out. So at a certain time, God has something to stay and God has something to go. But as Paul began to pass through this upper chamber, it's just a powerful revelation of this word for those who are not trying to get too far ahead of me, because God gives spirit and gives utterance by the Spirit. They say he finds certain disciples. The word of God says in the second verse that he said unto them, look, have you received? That's the thing right there. See, when you receive God, you got to understand, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you got to first believe in the Son. You know, that's why it says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the Creator, his Son, who allowed Jesus to come here and walk in what be the Word, wrapped in flesh, to walk among us. As it says in the book of Hebrews 12, I believe in 2, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. He came to show you that this work can be done. Now, Apostle Paul came close. You know, Enoch had some problems with what he went through. Moses had some problems with the rock. You know, all of them had some problems. You know, Elijah had his problems also, but God whipped him away, the chariot of fire, you know. And we see the power of that very word. But we're talking about right here, right now, that the word of God was spoken to these men. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost? Look what it said, since you believe. Now, it's easy for us just come to say, I give my life to Christ. We see it every day in the house of God, beginning with something, but ending with something greater. That when you go on to heaven, God got a place for you. The old people say, I'm sending up my timber, you know, that I may have that way when Christ calls me home. I'm building a home in heaven. And the word of God says that we can ask the plain question about ourselves. See, the Holy Spirit is a love. It's a truth. It's power. It's grace. It's mercy. It speaks with humbleness, kindness. It doesn't speak lies. It doesn't speak phoniness. It's not negativity. It's not hyped up. It's not boastful. It's love. Am I there? It does things in love. You see, because if you said you got the Holy Ghost, then you got to demonstrate the power of God, the love who will lead you into all these negative things that you may have thought was wrong with your life. The Holy Spirit will lead you away from those things. It'll lead you into all truth. The Bible said that have you seen the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, believing is the first thing. And they said unto him, we have not in such as heard there be a Holy Ghost. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I'm saying it in this way, and I'm breaking it up, because sometimes we read through the stuff too quick and we don't catch the increments of what Christ is saying. Now, he asks a very straight question right there. There are some that believe in Christ, but they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. They claim the Christ, the word of God. Like he said, your mouth speaks of me, but your hearts are far from me. See, God makes the heart before he makes the man. Before he makes the woman, he makes the man, he makes the heart. We look at a newborn embryo to try to find out whether the woman has actually been fertile through the man when they come together to be as one. And then the first thing they do is look for a blood pulse. And when you see everything in that very tube, everything that grows around it, the brain, the vessels, out of that little tube, that little blood, that's the heart develops there. It's been made in righteousness. This is why I talk about over in the area of Book of Jeremiah, 1 and 5. You know, Jeremiah makes it very clear. You know, I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been given a gift through the Holy Spirit. Before I was even taken out of my mother's womb, I got a gift already before I come to full fruition. I got a testimony before I come to full fruition. I know the works. I know the power that I've given because God allowed me to come into this land through the canal of a woman and be able to have the very gift through the power of his son that I may do all things according to the word of God, that even I speak, the Holy Spirit will obey me and I can perform those things by whatever come up out of my mouth. But the word of God said, but I got to walk upright. You can't say you love the Lord and walk any kind of way. You can't be toe up and say you love the Lord. And then you say you love God, but yet then you hate the one that God created. The word of God said, he asked them boys, you know, since you believe, have you been saved? And they said, well, we've been baptized by John the Baptist. And then the word of God makes it very clear that he said that unto them, that John the Baptist, he barely did the word. He barely baptized. But if he barely baptized, and they said, he barely done the work. You know, when we look at the third verse, and he said unto them, but what were you baptized? And they said unto John the Baptist. And then Paul said over in the fourth verse, Paul said, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance. He barely did the work. But John made it very clear that he's not the only one to do the work. He said, the one to come behind me is going to do the powerful, whose shoes I can't lace. So evidently, in the midst of all those times that John the Baptist was baptizing people, there was still one stronger. Even when we look over in the book of Luke chapter 11, when the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, baptize like John the Baptist, you know, baptize or teach us as John the Baptist, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, or teaching people to pray. But Jesus began to give them the model keys to the kingdom. He said, look, if you don't know how to say our Father who art in heaven, how to be thy name, thy king, you ain't going to get it. Because the first acknowledgement is Matthew 6 and 33 accused me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of what his righteousness, the commandment, the precepts, the guidance, all those things that God prepared for you to have and live that life more abundantly on this earth. And then he comes back to Psalms 84:11. If you obey all my commands, all my statutes, all my precepts, as it said over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, when they came into the land, he said, look, don't forget what happened to your forefathers. You know, all these houses, these pomegranates, all this ground, this water, new fountain, I let you have all this, but don't you forget. And sometimes we as men and women, God, we give our life to Christ, and we don't understand how significant that is when we're going to speak those words as we follow by having what the pastor says is to say. Sometimes he don't understand it either. He's just saying something. He's just going through the process of just saying something. But he don't know that how many people's lives are really in the dungeon, and they really need that word from them and believe that it is true. See, when the word of God declares that when we are giving our life to Christ and we begin to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he's Lord, not only is Lord, but he's Lord over everything, that's some powerful stuff. That's not no cycle you go through. That's not no stuff you just talk about. You know, even when I do the model of pray here for the repentance, of going to having people to join to be a part of the service, just get their life to Christ, that's not something normal. That's not something you just say because of a cliche. You know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, not only is Lord, but he's Lord over everything. The Bible says, then you shall be saved. Now the Holy Spirit comes in, and if you accept him and tarry until he come in, then he begin to root all the old things and the negative things out of you. Would it come overnight? No. It's not going to come overnight. But if you believe what the word of God says, when Paul began to speak over here in the fourth verse, then Paul says, verily John baptized but repented, saying to them, the people, listen to what he says, the people that should believe on him, which should come after him, that is Christ. Now notice it said in the fifth verse. Then they what? Heard. I'm talking about some testimonies. Testimonies come about for you hearing, displaying, and then doing. And then the people acknowledge. You can't go out there and say you love the Lord and then you live like, you know, a hypocrite in debauchery in all kind of way. You can't do that. But then you say you call by the name of the Lord. The word of God says, according to what, Luke 6:46, why y'all call me Lord, Lord? And then you do not the things I say. You know, so it's very simple. You just got to trust God. The Bible says over here in the fifth verse again, when they heard this, they were baptized. When they heard this first apostrophe, then they were baptized. See, you hear the old people say, you go down a dry devil, you come up a wet devil. Because some churches don't take you through the processes of understanding what it is, the join of unit, or you're part of a facility, to be able to serve, do the work of the kingdom of God. All they think is it's about popularity, getting before a bunch of people. But you got to humble yourself, man. That ain't going to get it. Christ loves us. He loves you. He wanted to see you prosper in the things you're doing. He wanted to send you forth and do all that there. And he wanted to do that for you. But you got to be able to walk upright and hear what the word of God has to say. I'm going to go back and I'm going to finish this out. And I'm going to get ready to get out of here. I want to speak some things that what the word of God has given to me in these particular scriptures. And it says, about some writings I was doing. How we feel with the Holy Spirit. How we feel with the Holy Spirit. But how we feel with the Spirit. Now, Ephesians 5:8. Paul says that be not even drunken with wine, which leads to what? Debauchery. Some people drink wine, they get all messed up, hyped, in other more ways than just hype, but other kind of ways. It leads to debauchery, sin, And he said, be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and psalms and hymns, and songs in the Spirit. All this is about gentleness and love. Look what it says, psalms and hymns, songs and spirit. Sing and make the music from your heart to the Lord. It ain't the nice stuff that sounds good. I mean, I know you like all that different stuff, them nice songs that we see, gospel songs. It sound all, really nice and all that. But he said, man, give me a song. God said, give me a song for your heart. No matter what your song look like, I'm still going to bless it. So just give me a phone, Don't worry about that. And so I'm just trying to figure out here to the point that when we walk with the power of God, and we know that we walk with the power of God. The word of God declares that we should always give thanks to God, the Father, in everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should always thank God for everything we do. Why? Because he's the one giving us the power through his Son to believe what the confidence gave us to resist the very dangers of Christ. The word of God tells us, don't be afraid of the one. Jesus said, don't be afraid of one who can kill the flesh, but the one who can kill the soul. Sometimes you kill your own soul with your own mouth, your own doings, and your own ways. Life and death is up off in your mouth. There are some people that eat that fruit. They love that fruit, and they'll do anything to get to it. If it's taking you down with them, they'll do everything they can. That's why you got to always watch and pray. When you watch and pray, then God begin to transform, show you, and help you, and lead you into all truth. I don't know about you guys, but it's always a pleasure for you guys to be with me here on Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios. Thank you for our international team for being with us. I move forward in one direction. I mean, I don't turn corners. When we're doing the work of the kingdom of God, we move with precision, and we move on time. We move with unity. And I thank God for the opportunity for those who are joining us online, along with my foreign team, and all the other members that's a part of Harvest New Light Church and the Sessions. We thank you guys for being with us, and all you other men of God. We thank y'all for being with us online today. It's such a pleasure to be here, for you guys to be here and hear what the Word of God is saying on this afternoon. But much pleasure and much blessings to you guys as we get ready to move and go forth. I want you guys to know that on this coming Thursday, and we're going to be starting a new series dealing with some area of why the Holy Spirit. Now, that's kind of crazy, but some people say, why can't you, the Holy Spirit must know us. No, you got to let him know. You know what I'm saying? He may know automatically, but you got to let him know that he can know. you know that you know. So when you ask him for something, he know that you're a child of God because you're speaking about the testimonies about what he's done for your life. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with me. And I thank God for each and every one of you. It's nothing but love here at Harvest My Church. I don't try to get in the point like I used to. Last year I called a lot of people out and this and that and that and the other. But, you know, God is, he's moving, you know, and this, you know, this radio station here, it may not be what we want it to be in terms of what we thought to be in terms of the ratings during this time on this particular show. All other shows are doing fine. This show is kind of running a little behind from what we expected. We're only getting close to 21,000-22,000 listeners for the time we've been on here. We should have been already at close to 100,000 listeners to me. But we only at 20. We just made the 30,000 mark, and it's been since the time that we was on the radio station. But you know the word of God says the word draws, the word declares, it decrees. And most of our workers and most of our people supporting this ministry come from foreign countries. And I just think that's a whole lot to say about us as pastors over here in the U.S. I mean, that is amazing that we get followers of popularity, but we don't get followers just under the radar. Nobody wants to sweat to nobody. But God bless you, man. In the name of Jesus, we declare that God continue to touch you in your life, that he continue to teach you and lead you into all truth. For me and the woman of God, and co-pastor Patty Ellis here at Harvest Night Church, we thank you guys for being with us on this afternoon.
Right, God,
yeah.